Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Member by Ram Goldar and here Maseches Menachos Daf Kuf Beis, the 12th parak Menachos VeNesachim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the previous daf taught the Rebbe Shimon holds Kol Omed Lipados Kepadui Dami. Anything which stands to be redeemed is considered like it's already redeemed, but only where redeeming is a mitzvah. The Gemara objects that Rebbe Shimon taught that a carbon which became pigel is not susceptible to tumah. But since it was a mitzvah to perform Zerika properly after the Shechita, it should be considered as if Zerika was already performed. The Gemara first answers that the pigel intent was during Shechita, and it was never fit for Zerika. Rav Nachum differentiates between pigeon and Zerika. Dibay Parik Amar. Rav Shimon says if he wanted, he could have redeemed it since it was merely a verbal declaration, but Ibay Havizarik Lomrinan. We do not say if he wanted, he could have performed Zerika because it requires a physical act and is not considered as it was already done. Point number two, Rav Nachman's answer is challenged from a Mishnah. Rav Yeshua says that any carbon which had a shas heter, a moment of permissibility to kahanim, before becoming invalidated, is no longer subject to me'ila, because it's no longer kadshi Hashem. For example, lana, a carbon which remained overnight. The Gemara proves that this includes where the zrika had never been performed, which demonstrates that the mere potential for zrika is considered like it already took place. Ravashi differentiates, Mi'ilah mishum kedusha v'lav kedushihi. Mi'ilah depends on the carbon's sanctity or lack of sanctity. Once its kedusha leaves, through being fit for zrika, it can never return. In contrast, tumah mishum ochel v'lav ochelihi. Tumah susceptibility depends on whether something is a food or is not a food. Only after actually performing zrika can it be called a food. But beforehand, it's not considered a food, despite the potential for zrika, since zrika requires an action. And point number three, Ravashi asks Rav Kahana that just as Rav Shimon holds anything which is omed lizrok is considered kazaruk, he should hold kol omed lizrok nami kasarov dami. Anything which stands to be burned is also considered as if it was already burned. If so, why does Rav Shimon say on the previous daf that paraduma and nosar both transmit futuma? Since they both stand to be burned, afra ba'amaninu, they are like mere dust and should not be considered food. Rav Kahana replied, Chibas HaKodesh Makshartan. The esteem for Hekdesh items prepares them for Tumah and considers them food. Ravina asks that this presumably only applies Lipsuli Degufe for its own disqualification, but is it even effective to consider the Hekdesh a Rishon and Sheni with Tumah to be Matami others? If so, it should resolve Reish Lakish's question, which was, if a tzarid, dry piece of a mincha, touches tumah, counts as a Rishon or Sheni with Tumah to be Matami others through Chibas HaKodesh, or is only itself disqualified? Ravashi answered that it is definitely counted as a Rishon and Sheni, at least midrabban. Reish Lakish inquired if it is so, even midraisa, regarding burning what the Hekdesh is matame. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The previous daf taught that Rabbi Shimon holds, Ko omen lipados kepadui dami. Anything which stands to be redeemed is considered like it is already redeemed, but only where redeeming is a mitzvah. The Gemara objects that Rabbi Shimon taught that a carbon which became pigel is not susceptible to tumah. But since it was a mitzvah to perform Zerika properly after the Shechita, it should be considered as if Zerika was already performed. The Gemara first answers that the pigel intent was during Shechita, and it was never fit for Zerika. Rav Nachum differentiates between pigeon and Zerika. Dibay Parik Amar. Rav Shimon says if he wanted, he could have redeemed it since it was merely a verbal declaration, but Ibay Havizarik Lomrinan. We do not say if he wanted, he could have performed Zerika because it requires a physical act and is not considered as it was already done. Point number two, Rav Nachman's answer is challenged from a Mishnah. Rav Yeshua says that any carbon which had a shas heter, a moment of permissibility to kahanim, before becoming invalidated, is no longer subject to me'ila, because it's no longer kadshi Hashem. For example, lana, a carbon which remained overnight. The Gemara proves that this includes where the zrika had never been performed, which demonstrates that the mere potential for zrika is considered like it already took place. Ravashi differentiates, Mi'ilah mishum kedusha v'lav kedushihi. Mi'ilah depends on the carbon's sanctity or lack of sanctity. Once its kedusha leaves, through being fit for zrika, it can never return. In contrast, tumah mishum ochel v'lav ochelihi. Tumah susceptibility depends on whether something is a food or is not a food. Only after actually performing zrika can it be called a food. But beforehand, it's not considered a food, despite the potential for zrika, since zrika requires an action. And point number three, Ravashi asks Rav Kahana that just as Rav Shimon holds anything which is omed lizrok is considered kazaruk, he should hold kol omed lizrok nami kasarov dami. Anything which stands to be burned is also considered as if it was already burned. If so, why does Rav Shimon say on the previous daf that paraduma and nosar both transmit futuma? Since they both stand to be burned, afra ba'amaninu, they are like mere dust and should not be considered food. Rav Kahana replied, Chibas HaKodesh Makshartan. The esteem for Hekdesh items prepares them for Tumah and considers them food. Ravina asked that this presumably only applies to Psui Degufe for its own disqualification, but is it even effective to consider the Hekdesh a Rishon and Sheni with Tumah to be Matami others? If so, it should resolve Reish Lakish's question, which was, if a tzarid, dry piece of a mincha, touches tumah, counts as a rishon or sheni l'tumah to be matame others through chibas hakodesh, or is only itself disqualified? Rav Ashi answered that it is definitely counted as a rishon and sheni, at least midrabban. Reish Lakish inquired if it is so, even midraisa, regarding burning what the hekdesh is matame. Alright, so now we get our siman daf kuf beis, and our standard siman is a cave. A cave. So here goes. When the Kohen heard that his pigul meat was not susceptible to tumas ochlin, even though the zrika could have been done, he did in a cave because the potential for zrika did take off the isur me'ila right next to some meat from a paraduma which was considered burnt, but still makabel tumah because of chibas hakodesh. Once again, it's a motion. When the Kohen heard that his pigul meat was not susceptible to tumas ochlin, even though the zrika could have been done, he hid it in a cave. Cave. That must be on daf. When the Kohen heard that his pigul meat was not susceptible to tumas ochlin, even though the zrika could have been done, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if the potential for zrika is considered a shasa kosher for tumah. So when the Kohen heard that his pigul meat was not susceptible to tumas ochlin, even though the zrika could have been done, he hid it in the cave because the potential for zrika did take off the isur me'ila, which reminds us, Rabbi Yeshua says that any carbon which had a shas heter, a moment of permissibility to kohanim, before becoming invalidated is no longer subject to me'ila because it's no longer kadshi Hashem. Rav Ashi explains that me'ila depends on the carbon's kedusha or lack of kedusha. Once its kedusha leaves, being fit for zrika, it can never return. So when the Kohen heard that his pigul meat was not susceptible to tumas ochlin, even though the zrika could have been done, he hid it in a cave because the potential for zrika did take off the isur me'ila, right next to some meat from a paraduma which was considered burnt, but still makabel tumah because of chibas hakodesh, which reminds us, chibas hakodesh renders that which is omed lisrof as food for tumah, such as in the case of a paraduma. So once again, when the Kohen heard that his pigul meat was not susceptible to tumas ochlin, even though the zrika could have been done, he hid it in a cave because the potential for zrika did take off the isur me'ila, right next to some meat from a paraduma which was considered burnt but still makabel tumah because of chibas hakodesh. All right, so now it's time for a four blabach chazara. Daf Tzadiches. So the siman Daf Tzadiches relates to tzchok, and we use a clown for the siman. So here goes. Inside the circus tent that had an image of Shushan Abir on the eastern gate, two clowns. Clowns? That must be on Daf Tzadiches. Tzchok. Inside the circus tent that had an image of Shushan Abira on the eastern gate, which reminds us, the Mishnah teaches that an image of Shushan Abira was drawn upon the eastern gate of the second base of Migdash. Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Rav Dimi debate its purpose. One said it was Kadeshi Yedu Mehechem Bo, so they should know from where they came and properly thank the king of Persia. One said it was Kadeshi Te'emus Malchus Alehem, so that the awe of the rulership of Persia should be upon them and they would not rebel against them. So inside the circus tent that had an image of Shushan Abira on the eastern gate, two clowns were fighting whether 10 tables should be set up in two rows from east to west or north to south, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the orientation of the Kelim, the Migdash, and there's Malchus about the 10 Shulchanos of Shlomo HaMelech, whether they were placed east to west or north to south. So inside the circus tent that had an image of Shushan Abira on the eastern gate, two clowns were fighting whether 10 tables should be set up in two rows from east to west or north to south, while a third clown was having trouble lighting a long wick on the central shaft of the menorah, which faced the west, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the orientation of the menorah and the identity of the Ner Maravi. Daf Tzadites. So the Siman Daf Tzadites is a cheetah. So here goes. When a cheetah, that must be on Daf Tzadites. When a cheetah entered the Migdash and ate the breads off the silver table used for bringing them into the Kodesh, and the gold table used for taking them out because Mali Makodesh, Ve'en Moridin, which reminds us, in addition to the Shulchan HaZahav in the Heichol, there were two tables in the Ulam, one of silver, Rashi says it was marble, but white like silver, and one of gold. The Kohanim placed the Lechem on the silver table as they were entering the Heichol and on the gold table upon exiting, Shemalim Makodesh Ve'en Moridin, because we ascend in matters of Kedusha but do not descend, so the Lechem is not placed onto the silver table after being on the golden shulchan in the Heichol. So when a cheetah entered the Mikdash and ate the breads off of the silver table used for bringing them into the Kodesh, and the gold table used for taking them out because Malim B'Kodesh Vein Maridin, the Kohen giving a shir nearby on the three lavin for forgetting one's Torah, which reminds us, Reish Lakish taught, Kol Meshacheach Davar Echad Matamudu Over Belov, anyone who causes even one word of his Torah learning to be forgotten transgresses a prohibition, as the Pasuk says, Yishamar Elcha Ushmor Nafshecha Mo'od Pen Tishkach Esedvarim. Beware for yourself and greatly guard your soul, lest you forget the things that you saw at Har Sinai. And the term Hishamer constitutes a love. Ravina says Hishamer and Pen constitute two loving, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says Ushmor constitutes a third love. So when a cheetah entered the Mikdash and ate the breads off of the silver table used for bringing them into the Kodesh and the gold table used for taking them out because Malim B'Kodesh Vein Moridin, the Kohen giving a shir nearby on the three loving for forgetting one's Torah, had his Talmidim go and chase it since they at least fulfilled their obligation of Lo Yamush by saying Shema in the morning and at night, which reminds us, Rabbi Yami taught, Afil Loshana Adam El Perek Echad Shachris Uperek Echad Arvis. Even if a person only learned one chapter of Torah in the morning and one chapter in the evening, he fulfilled the mitzvah of Lo Yamush Sefer Torah Hazem Mipicho. This book of the Torah shall not leave your mouth. Rather, you shall contemplate it day and night. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught that even reciting Shema in the morning and evening fulfills Lo Yamush. Rabbi Yochanan added that it's forbidden to tell this before Amei Arz, but Rava says it's a mitzvah to do so. Daf Kuf, so the Siman Daf Kuf is a kof, a monkey. So here goes. The Kohen's monkeys, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf, kof, monkey. The Kohen's monkeys, who tried to copy their master but kept messing up by burning the Bezichi Lavona from their Lechem Apanim playset on the wrong day, which reminds the Gemara discuss what to do if the Lechem Apanim or Lavona were put on or removed from the Shulchan on the wrong day. So the Kohen's monkeys, who tried to copy their master but kept messing up by burning the Bezichi Lavona from their Lechem Apanim playset on the wrong day, and couldn't return the kamitza to the clay sharis when it did the kamitza at night, thereby making it possible. Which reminds the Gemara discusses if the clay sharis or the shulchan are makadish shalob is manan, and if Lila is mechuser's man. So the Kohen's monkeys who tried to copy their master but kept messing up by burning the bezichi lavona from the lechem upanim playset on the wrong day, and couldn't return the kamitza to the clay sharis when it did the kamitza at night, thereby making it possible, prepared bunches of bananas to consume while they waited 3 days from the day the Shtei Lechem was baked to eat it, since Shavuos that year fell out on a Sunday. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses possible days the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Apanim can be eaten because baking is not Doche Yantav or Shabbos. Daf Kuf Off. So the Siman Daf Kuf Off is a bird caller going caw caw. So here goes. The bird caller who called caw caw, the bird caller called caw caw, that must be on Daf Kuf Olive. The bird caller who called caw caw to some birds to get them to eat from the tower grain he'd redeemed before it got Kedush Zaguf, which reminds us, on the previous daf, the 12th break began, Hamanachas v'Nesachim Shinitmu, Manachas and Nesachim which became Tameh, then Adshu Akidshu B'Kli, before they were sanctified in Kli Sharis, they can be redeemed because they only have Kedushas Damim, monetary sanctity, but after receiving Kedushas Zaguf in the Kli Sharis, they cannot be redeemed. Shmuel says the Kedushas Damim of Manachas and Nesachim, before being placed in the Kli Sharis, can even be redeemed while they are Tower and still viable for offering. So the bird caller who called caw caw to some birds to get them to eat from the tahor grain he had redeemed before it got Kedush Zaguf, watched some birds dropping fruit of an orla tree, which cannot become tame because they are asur b'hana with no shasa kosher. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yoshai said he heard that Rabbi Shimon holds that a mincha which was made pigel is not susceptible to tumah. Rabbi Shimon said that orla, klai kerim, and other items which are asur b'hana are not susceptible to tumah. So the bird caller called caw caw to some birds to get them to eat from the tower grain he'd redeemed before it got Kedush Zaguf, watched some birds dropping fruit of an orla tree, which cannot become tummy because they are asur b'hana with no shasa kosher, onto the meat of a par duma, which can be makabo tumas ochlin because ko omid lipados kefadui dummy, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon holds, ko ha omid lipados kefadui dummy, anything which stands to be redeemed is considered like it's already redeemed. As he taught in a braisa, par metame tumas ochlin, the meat of a shechta par duma contracts food tuma, despite being asur b'hana because it had a shasa kosher, meaning there was a moment after shechita when it was considered permitted in consumption. That's because it's a mitzvah to redeem it if a better cow is found. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff do you discuss what is done if the lechem upanim or the lavon was put on or removed from the shulchan on the wrong day? That's on duff. Kuf. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn that nowadays a person's shulchan is mechaper form in place of the mizbeach? That's on duff. study sign. Good. Number three, which daf do we learn that Chibas HaKodesh renders that which is Omer Lisrov as food for Tumah, such as in the case of Paraduma? That's on daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number four, which daf do we discuss possible days the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Apanim can be eaten since baking is not Dochi Yantav or Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf. Good.
Number five,
which daf do we learn the Me'ilah depends on the carbon's Kedusha or lack of Kedusha? That's on daf Kuf Beis.
Good. Number six,
which daf do we Malkokas if the Miskeres of the Shulchan was Lamata or Lamala, the tabletop? That's on daf Tzadibav.
Good. Number seven,
which daf do you discuss if the potential for Zrika is considered a Shasa Kosher for Tumah? That's on daf Kuf Beis.
Good. Number eight,
which daf do you discuss whether the Kedusha's dam can be redeemed while it's still Tahor? That's on daf Kuf Aleph.
Good.
Number nine, which daf do we learn that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says there are three loving for forgetting one's Torah? He shamer, pen, ushmor. That's on daf Tzadi Tes.
Good.
Number ten, which daf do you discuss which amos in the Mikdash were five Tvachim and which were six? That's on daf Tzadi Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichri wishing you a great day and great learning.